Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. On the wall behind where the head of Murshid rest in New Delhi at the Darga, there's the invocation. And it reads, towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master. Towards the One, with an S. I thought you might like to know that. Okay. Day one was?
Harmony.
What was the wazifa?
Salam.
And what's salam? It's said of salam that, what is that phrase that we were concentrating on?
Divine peace,
but there was a special little phrase in that teaching of Murshid Sam's. It's the miraculous word that
it's for the soul.
Something to our soul.
The miraculous word
that God speaks to our soul. Salam, Ya Salam, the miraculous word that God speaks to our soul. So that was the keynote of that day. And the second day?
Insight.
And the wazifa of the day was?
Kabir Shahid.
Divine wisdom, divine witness. Kind of salam, just briefly again to recap. Salam is that place of perfect peace, but not, Murshid Sam says it's not a dead place. It's a very alive place. It's an active place. And he also reminded us, just as last night when we were saying the zikr of remembrance for the souls that have passed, we sang Ya Salam. Ya Salam, Ya Salam. That was, they say that this is a comfort to the soul who has departed and also those that have remained so that they know they are actively involved in helping with the passage of that soul. Okay, so remember that. When you lose someone or you've heard of someone that's passed, it's good. And sometimes we're on lists, where we get lots of information about people that need healing or people that have passed. Even if I don't know them, I always read it. I get their name and I say, Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi, and the Niaz. And if someone's passed, I always say the Ya Salam, just remembering them. It doesn't need to be a lot, but just to offer that. So, Kabir Shahid, it's like we're clearing our throat. Karima Gita took it to heart. She now has a sore throat, but it's doing much better. Yeah. Kabir Shahid, that divine knowledge, I guess I should call it, divine knowledge that develops insight. And then, so it's beyond, it goes to the deepest places where we find wisdom and knowledge. It invokes that. And then Shahid is... maybe Shahida wants to tell us about Shahid. No, she's shaking her head now, very coyly. She's being Shahid, that's right, which is the divine witness. So Kabir opens us up to this divine knowledge that we can then make use of through the five senses so as to not be distracted through those senses or diluted, maybe is a good thing to say. We can experience things through our senses, but with this divine knowledge. And then yesterday was, what was the keynote? You remember?
Concentration on the idea.
Noranisa gets the gold star for the day. And our wazifa for that was?
Rakib.
And its meaning, do you recall? It was?
Watching word.
The watchful one. And do you remember some of the beautiful phrases that we were given to us as if you're and
or watching the stars disappear into the
yeah. How beautiful is that, right? So this just really like I'm not doing anything. I'm really watching. Yeah.
The guardian.
Yeah. Guardian. So those are some things and we can use these in our everyday life. These are, it's interesting that you would say guardians, because I think the wazifas are not words. They are living beings that we can invoke to serve, support, aid us in our progression and development. And in everyday life, for me, really, it's about everyday life. You know, when I went to India to live in the monastery, I didn't have a moment to myself. I was set to immediate work. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And you know, all my friends, I will tell you this story because I think it's interesting. My friends that were at Tushita, up on, higher up on the mountain, doing their, you know, 5-6, you know, weeks, months, years of practice, they, when they spoke to me, they'd say, you are wasting your time here. You are so busy. You're doing this and that and this and that. It was my Rinpoche's wish. And I went to Rinpoche, I felt very sad because I had been there for some time and it was getting ready, time for me to come home. And I said, Rinpoche, what do you say? I have had this beautiful opportunity to be here with you. I've lived here in the monastery. I've been with you and the monks. And he looked at me and he said, some people play at spirituality and some people live it. And he said, and I was teaching English a lot to the monks. They were wanting to learn the Western vernacular. So I was teaching at the monastery, but also at the School of Buddhist Dialectics for His Holiness. And he said to me, that laughter I hear in the temple when you're teaching English every morning, that's what Buddhism really is. That joy, that light, that love. I don't know. Other people, let them do what they do. So I think retreats are really important. I've benefited greatly from them, but it's not the end-all be-all either. You know, it's like, can we do it right here, right now? You know, put the pedal to the metal, so to speak. Every moment of our life, until in us be reflected thy grace, thy glory, thy wisdom, thy joy, and thy peace. And remember we talked about Jabarut and the five spheres of existence. That might be something you want to do a little more research on. If you link to our website and Karima Gita and Noor Salima, it looks like she has pen in hand, you can get, if you're not already on our mailing list, you give them your email, we can get you on it. If you decide at some point you don't want to be on it or you're on holiday, easy to unsubscribe. You can resubscribe, unsubscribe, but SufiMovement.us, you can subscribe. We send out periodic inspiration and links to classes and other things. But there are also links. This will be posted in the audio form. We often do audio and video. This will be in the audio form with notes. The notes, okay, so you can link to the teachings. Now, the site is easy. It's hazarat-anayat-khan.org. The database of Murshid's teachings is there. It's not confused with a lot of pictures and other information. It's a pure database, a searchable database. You can do a word search or a phrase search. Every single place it appears in the message volumes and the Gathikas. If you're a more advanced student, you can gain permission to get to the Gathikas 1, 2, and 3, the Sangathas 1, 2, and 3, and the Sangitas and the Sangathas. And so, you know, that is like such a, you need a little piece, you search by word, all the references. You can create a small account just by offering your email. You don't get hassled by them. And you can create bookmarks for future. It's a great tool. It's all free. So that's my little plug for them. So day four. The keynote of the day is concentration again. But this is on mastery and the eternal goal. Mastery and the eternal goal. I'm thinking of Karuna Mai. I know she's in the country right now, so she keeps flitting in a lot. So we're trying to schedule a Skype call when I get home. But she taught me this mantra. And, you know, her sister was one of the great freedom fighters during India's liberation. You know, when they used to try to give speeches, they found that if men went up to give speeches, they were really very severely beaten and drugged from the stage, you know, by the English officers. But if the women went up, they were less likely to beat them and drag them off. So her sister was one of them. And she gave me that. I know I've said it before, that Inqilab Zindabad. You remember that, Ollie Cotter? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's that, yeah, spiritual, you know, revolution or revolution now, but she translated spiritual revolution now, you know. And she also said, stop now, stop not till the goal is reached. Stop not till the goal is reached. That was another mantra. So this is related to, thank you, Masiji, for concentration on mastering the eternal goal. May 27th, the words of Hazratanai Khan. One's path is for oneself. One's path is for oneself. Let everyone accomplish their own desires, that they may thus be able to rise above them to the eternal goal. So yesterday, remember, it was talking about the object of our concentration, our contemplation, but that might also, once attained, has to be let go so we can move beyond it, or else it'll keep us captive. So here now we're going one step beyond that. One's path is for oneself. Let everyone accomplish their own desires, that they may thus bless you, that they may thus be able to rise above them to the eternal goal, to the eternal goal. I want to share with you, it's come up a couple times. You might do it just as a walking practice. It's really cool. You know, I'm a walker and a runner, so I practice this when I'm out in wherever I am doing that with my big dog. Anyway, I keep very aware. It's kind of a Dzogchen meditation, those of us that have ever done that. You keep your eye very far. Your glance is really in the infinite distance, but your view is very large. So you're seeing everything almost in 360 degree, but your eye is there and all these things are passing by. And it's like that saying I was saying, you know, yesterday of Anaya Khan's, of, you know, I approach the horizon as I approach the horizon recedes. But to me, that is like such a great active meditation, because you're glancing into this eternity and the impermanence is passing by. This is life. We keep our eyes on the eternal goal and everything else is just passing. It's all the nature of impermanence. All passing. Okay. Murshid Samuel Lewis's words. Every soul on the journey towards manifestation selects certain qualities out of the highest reaches of heaven. Now, I have to stop there because I know Ollie Cotter, Karima Gita, Yasmin, at least, remember Murshida Vira talking about this. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. She would talk always about, as a soul comes, again, this five spheres of manifestation, she would talk, as a soul is coming from those angelic spheres down through to its manifestation on earth, there is, so here, every soul on the journey towards manifestation selects certain qualities out of the highest reaches of heaven. So she would say, for example, and she'd give the specific example of Stephen Hawking, who has done now elaborations on Einstein's theory of relativity. So, she, you know, her idea that she gave us from the teachings and her interpretation, her commentary, whatever you want to say, was that as the soul's coming towards the earth, one is leaving, and there is this passing of knowledge. And so there is this deliberate, every soul on the journey to select certain qualities out of the highest spheres of heaven, so that there's this exchange, so that the work, do you remember when she talked about that? The work could be continued. So that we have some purpose, we have had something that we've chosen, you know, to come and do. And you do the pure, if it's not clear to you, keep doing the purification practices and be that Rakib, the watchful one. Be the Rakib. Okay? So every soul on the journey towards manifestation selects certain qualities, and it's plural, out of the highest reaches of heaven, so to speak, which form the nexus of their latter desire. This is the seed of a person's nature, and it is through the development of the personality, not its suppression. It is through the development of the personality, not its suppression, that the fulfillment of the involution and evolution is accomplished. As the very nature of desire was born out of the unfulfilled love, it is not proper to crush this desire entirely. To transmute it is the right procedure. So it's a little bit related to yesterday, don't let something possess you. But here's a wonderful example that I remember someone giving. I think it was Atum O'Kane, and he was talking about in the development, there's a beautiful body of teachings by Hazrat Anayat Khan on the development, the art of personality and character development. And it is really something every Sufi needs to study, because I think that's the essence of the path. And so Atum O'Kane was describing it. He was at that point the head of the esoteric school in the Sufi order. And it was as if he was giving a very practical analogy. And that was, for example, whatever we choose as the object of desire and we go towards that goal, we may have a goal in mind, but it is not so much the goal that once we attain it is the end-all be-all. It's all the steps that took us to that goal that are really very profound, and they become, these are my words, maybe they mean something to you, maybe they don't, but they do to me at least, these become the ornaments of the personality, and they're like the crown on the heart through which this divine light shines through. So we use our personality, we use our character, and so that is what Murshid Sam's saying here. We don't try to suppress it or necessarily become, we can, fauna is a very beautiful manner in which we try to become in the manner like our teachers. It's a good thing to learn, but also don't get stuck there, right? What is your note? You know, as we learned earlier, we were talking about the notes on the first day. What's your note? What's your highest note? And so Atum would give this practical example. He said, so for example, someone wants to become a physician. All right, that's a very honorable goal. But what is learned all along the way is discipline, organization, diligence, mastery. Like all these qualities are gained. You know, it's like a dancer. You have an aspiration to be a dancer, but it's the process of developing your athleticism, your strength, your the discipline to continue, you know, the the ability to become graceful in one's movement, to interpret reality in that way. I mean, anything any of us do are that way. So Kamto Rinpoche has always said, too, that the two, he feels that the two most honorable professions are being a teacher and a doctor, because it helps people. So everyone's teacher, obviously, and we offer lots of medicine to each other through love, so we're all teachers and doctors. All right. So I'm going to read this much again, and then I want us to do a practice. And I want to describe this practice in relationship to how Hasrat and Nikon describes the practice. We're not reading from the Physicians of the Heart today. So, again, in the words of Anayat Khan, one's path is for oneself. Let everyone accomplish their own desires that they may be able to rise above them to the eternal goal. It's like that goal is there, but we have to go up. We have to accomplish it like we're going through rungs of the ladder, or kind of laps or spirals, or however you see that. Richard Samuel Lewis, every soul on the journey toward manifestation selects certain qualities out of the highest reaches of heaven, so to speak, which form the nexus of their latter desire. This is the seed of a person's nature, and it is through the development of personality, not its suppression, that the fulfillment of the involution and evolution is accomplished. So the very nature of desire is born out of unfulfilled love. That's a beautiful statement, actually. So the very nature of desire, you know, and we're talking really big love here, right? You know, it's not like an individual thing. As the very nature of desire is born out of unfulfilled love, it is not proper to crush this desire entirely. To transmute it is the right procedure. So we're going to use the zikr phrase, La ilaha el Allahu. La ilaha El Allahu. And here's what Hazrat and Icon says about this phrase. He said, to the left resides our heart, the human heart. To the right resides our eternal soul. To the left is the eternal heart, our limited self. He says, to the right is the unlimited self of the soul. So it's the heart and it's the soul. Say, La ilaha el Allahu. La ilaha el Allahu. Now the concentration here will be, we take this limited self and we offer it to the unlimited. And we take all the knowledge and the wisdom of this unlimited and we offer it to inform and raise up the limited. Isn't it beautiful, the way he describes that? In the zikr that Murshid gave, you should know, he always gave it as a circle, and the residing on El Allahu remained in the heart. It's like you're constantly blowing on the embers of the heart. It's a very Jamal zikr. It's a very feminine zikr. He says that the El Allahu arises the Jalal. Says it's good if you're going into some sort of battle, and sometimes we do,
sometimes
right?
We need that.
And sometimes we need that, but generally, and I don't know if we have any of those photos, but that one image of him, I remember Pir Murshid Hidayat took me to the Sufi movement museum, and there's kind of this beautiful area. It's almost like a golden tent, this cloth that they have in the room, and then there's this draping away, and there's this portrait of Hazrat Inayat Khan, and he's sitting, because he did the zikr in a chair, and he's looking just like this, but it's like this amazing light, and everything's very etheric, like you could almost see through him. We have that on our, accessible through our website. We've had it restored and making that available. It's called zikr. But what happened was Murshid had, they had performed the zikr, and he was in that very deep state. And Murshid Ali Khan, Muhammad Ali Khan, who was Murshid's cousin, called his name, and when he looked up, that light came out. And that's what that image is of. Is there one downstairs? Oh, there'll be a rush on that, maybe. But at any rate, think of that, you know, that deep. And you might think that you're kind of drawing this beautiful crescent, this bowl. And I think about the that Rumi phrase, maybe someone will remember it for me, but about the bowl of stars in the sky. You can't tell what's up. You can't tell what's down. Okay. So we'll do it 34 times aloud, 34 times whispering, and 33 times silently. Remember, we're moving, and you know, sometimes I give this concentration, like if you feel there are little prickly things in the heart, little wounds, little hurts, you know, think of the breath drawing them out like these thorns, and they're getting transformed into these beautiful roses that then you offer back. Transform it. Transmute it, as they said. All desires transmuted. I think I not need to explain it, but I will anyway. Just the phrase, La Elaha El Allahu. El is the operative word in Murshid Zikr. E-L, coming from Persia. He used the Persian form of the Zikr. El Allahu. Very important. At least in this zikr. Now, the other thing, what else did I? It'll come. It'll come. La. The negation. La. El. La is no. El is the. Al is the. La is no. It's like this kind of koan, if you know Arabic. It's really interesting, and it's very beautiful, because it's yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
Binary.
It is totally binary. And you know, the Arabs, they designed the zero. That digit became profound in that we could then have multiples of 10. That was important. So the void is as important as the object, the space. La Elaha could simply be described as there is nothing. So it's like this negation of all limitation. And then El Allahu, only God is. La Elaha El Allahu. La Elaha El. How about if we sing it? Would you like that? Should we sing an icon zikr?
Yes.
That'd be better. I'm going to dress up our little Buddha here, our medicine Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
sacrificing this unlimited self, or offering it, if you prefer, to the unlimited. And the unlimited, in return, comes back to inform and uplift your limited self. Allow this form of zikr to weed the garden, anything that's there that you wish to remove or transform, just pick it and offer it as a bouquet to this unlimited self. In return, the unlimited shines back at you with all divine light and life and love. That makes quite a nice little desk there, actually.
Yeah.
Back to Murshid Samuel Lewis, and then we'll do zikr, and it's finished, but it goes on. From one point of view, all desire is crushed, but from another point of view, this is not so. What is necessary is to demonstrate through life itself that satisfaction cannot arise out of any particular thing. Rather, that satisfaction comes from the pleroma, meaning the Gnostic concept of the spiritual world. So this secret, most inner concept of the spiritual world. The totality of thing, hyphen next, ness, thingness. It's very Buddhist in a way. Isness, thingness, selflessness. Okay. I'll begin the sentence again. I'll read it all the way through. From one point of view, all desire is crushed. He's talking again about this process of not suppressing something, but allowing it to develop and be transmuted. Okay, so from one point of view, all desire is crushed. This is an example of control. You can come to control impulses, perhaps, is a good way of saying it. So from one point of view, all desire is crushed, but from another point of view, this is not so. When it is necessary to demonstrate through life itself that satisfaction cannot arise from any particular thing, rather satisfaction only comes from the representation of divine fullness and divine being. The totality of thingness, not from the things themselves. It is nothing but an aspect of Allah, that aspect which satisfies every soul. Murshid Sam didn't say it here, but I shall add, because it is the nature of every soul. I understand there are two copies left of Bowl of Sake.
Thank you.
any questions or comments? Anything you wish at all to share?
What is the name of the seeds you gave us yesterday?
Mani. Mani. Om mani padme hum.
Pills. Mani. Pills.
Herbs. Herbs.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, it's something that occurred to me when you were talking about the soul towards manifestation. Mm. When I hear words like every, the word every doesn't allow for, you know, it's a solid word. And the fact that every soul has its purpose and its manifestation. Being a flawed human, I immediately came up with all kinds of thoughts of people that I just wonder, like, even them? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not going to slam anyone here. I don't want to disturb the adab of this space. I certainly wouldn't want to do that. But we all run into that stuff, you know what I'm saying? And it, to me, it's a lesson. I would do well to remember that sometimes when I'm not too mindful. So that's one thing that jumped out at me, you know, that we've all are part of the harmony. You know?
Yeah. We talked about that in the first day, even that it can be very difficult for us to see that in someone that at their hand or their command great atrocities can take place or do great harm. And yet, there is that seed. That seed may be very much covered, and that is the suffering of that individual, and perhaps through their hands, the suffering of many. That's delusion, but that's not who the soul. What the soul is, and even those things give examples, create compassion, and help us to be mindful of trying to help others, serve others, be mindful of ourselves. Because, you know, if it exists in one of us, it exists in all of us somewhere. And so to continue to do our practice, to offer it for the benefit of all sentient beings, this is so important. And people suffer so much at their own hand through their own delusion, and then that gets projected outward into the world. So the best we could hope for is to be that bodhisattva who shepherds everyone through to enlightenment and wait behind. You first.
When you ask for comments, I want the thorns that could reside deep in the heart, which have to be ego, and moving them over to this soul.
This side.
And letting them be as roses, just petals that you could return and offer to that heart. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and they seem to just surface
In
this atmosphere. Anything that you're holding there that's not beautiful or
And these gatherings, they create the circumstances for the quickening of karma, ripening of it, right? So we can look at it and release it, right? Alhamdulillah. Praise God. Yeah. So everything, you know, they're just those sayings that stick with me, you know. We can't, you know, I think of Mother Teresa saying, we don't try to do great things, but small things with great love. You know, Gandhi, first they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. So many things like that. Dalai Lama quoting Shanti Dev, think of those that hurt you and harm you as the great guru who comes to teach you strength and courage. That instructions given in prostration, the practice of prostration in Tibetan Buddhism, is the creation of this beautiful merit field with everyone and everything you love from beginningless time into endless time. The most beautiful vision of glory and every wish-fulfilling tree and all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, but the ones that you prostrate to are your enemies. not even your teachers, because it is only the enemies that teach us patience. They're great, great teachers. They're great agents for us, for our transformation. Sometimes it's just it's sometimes to get us to that next place, you know.
We all have.
Sometimes, yeah.
I have found in my life every time it's been to get me to my next place. I don't maybe know it at the time, but it's always such a blessing coming through. And when I struggle is when I'm in pain.
I feel like the ante keeps, you know, you kind of reach a level and you're thinking, hey, well, it gets raised again. And
yeah.
Like, I'm not keeping up with the betting, you know, I'm not keeping up.
Yeah.
Like the ante, I've got to.
Wow. Now, shatter your ideal on the rock of truth.
Your ideal.
Which relates to these teachings again and again. Well, I know some of you will move on after this camp and you have your own set of practices, but some of you are in the more inner circle and we're ready to begin this new set.
Son.
Are you ready?
That's a dangerous question to answer.
That's the school teacher.
Well, no, and it did say each person has their own, purpose and their own outcome. So it's not for me to say. If you're doing them, you're doing them. It's your business. If you're not doing them, then, well, see what happens.
Probably a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, a whole lot of nothing or a whole lot of something that you're confused by, right? So it's good. But, you know, everyone is drawn to do what they do. And, you know, Pierre Vilayet always would say, Mershita Vera always would start me with 501. Did she start you with 501, or was I just dense and she thought I needed more? I always had to do 501 of every practice, and it was like almost every month it was kind of this new set, and it was always based on circumstances in life. So things were changing quickly, and it was, you know, it was pretty intense, fiery path with Mershita in the most beautiful way, but quick kind of training. And so, and Pierre Vilayet would always give practices, and he would say 101, or sometimes 1,001, but mostly 101. But he always said to us, you know what? You shouldn't be burdened by the number. You should be considering the depth of the recitation. So if you don't have time for 100, do 33. If you don't have time for 33, do 11. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, every time you take an empowerment with him, the minimum is... Now you know why all the Tibetans have all these counters, right? Minimum 1,001 recitations is the obligation. He always would say, now for some of you that might be a little difficult. So there's X amount of 1,000 of us gathered here right now. If there's 5,000 of us gathered and we each say it one time, that's 5,000. So he would go, you know, and we'd all do them really fast. So, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. And it's a wonderful way that the monasteries earn money, because if you're given a practice, the deal is you can actually pay the monastery to do it for you, right? It's like, how great is that, right? It's like, okay, you know. It's one way to raise money, exactly. So, and yeah, it's kind of like the Catholic prayer. You know, you send in something. Some of you receive cards from me that, you know, for prayers to be done. So, you know, that's it's okay. It's all relative in a way. You know, it's like concepts, and we have to get our mind around that.
So donations can be put in the basket, and we'll pray for
and we'll pray for you. write what your prayer request is in the memo line. Can I hand this to you? Okay, we're gonna close the circle, and then I have a few more words to say that's not on the recording. May the blessings of God rest upon you. May God's peace abide with you. May God's presence illuminate your hearts now and forevermore. And And as Murshid said to him, may your faith be increased. May your faith be increased. Travel safely home and be good citizens.